This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
First caller always wins 312-981-7200. First caller, we have prizes for you waiting. I have a text question for today as well. We were just talking about this off the air. Scott Kelly, the twin brother of his brother, the other Kelly.
Mark Kelly.
That's the one. Is coming back from outer space today. Mm-hmm. Spending a year in space. Here's your text question. If you spent a year in outer space, what's the first thing you do when you got home?
What's the first thing you would do?
I'd go to the bathroom.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'd really have to go to the bathroom. let's leave it up to the texters. And if you can't think of anything, well, you probably should think harder. 312-981-7200 is the number. It is Super Tuesday. Multiple states in the South mostly will be voting today. As far north as Virginia and as far west as Oklahoma. Voting today, there is an anticipated Trump sweep. Don't count on it. I think there may be an upset here or there. Ted Cruz will still most likely win Texas, but because of the proportional delegate distribution rules in Texas, if Trump were to be a close second, it would not make a big difference in the delegate count. As all the math is added up on the Democrat side, Hillary Clinton has taken a definitive lead now over Bernie Sanders, not just in superdelegates, but in press coverage and in buzz. It's an odd thing after the Nevada caucuses, which were actually close, well, relatively speaking, and South Carolina, which was a blowout, like 52-28 or something. Mm-hmm. Or what was it, 56-28? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Hillary now is the presumptive winner. The point of all of this is all the presumptions that are made generally can be taken back at any given time. There's no risk in presuming something. Once you guarantee something, you're in a different ballpark. But today there is a presumption that it's all Trump and it's all Hillary, and you don't know until the votes are counted.
Right, and you can win delegates even if you don't win the state. That's key as well.
Yeah, right. The proportional delegate rules, which were set up by the RNC on the Republican side after 2012 to try to get to a nominee sooner, are now coming back to bite the Republican Party to some extent because the majority of the Republican hierarchy would like to slow Trump down, and because of the proportional delegate count, he may get to the number sooner. Now, the ultimate brokered convention scenario is Cruz wins Texas, Rubio wins Florida, Kasich wins Ohio, and there's almost no way that Trump's math would add up to the number. Having said that, Kasich is slightly behind in Ohio, Rubio is way behind in Florida, and Cruz is only slightly ahead in Texas.
Yeah, and Kasich made an interesting comment yesterday. He said, well, he's going to win Ohio, and that's going to put him over the top. Which I thought, well, maybe that'll keep you in the race a little longer, but I don't think
over
winning
the top
Ohio.
Of what?
I don't know. That's a good question. He's got a pretty big hurdle there, so it was a weird statement. But
Kasich is in last place, even behind Ben Carson mm-hmm. in many of these states. Mm-hmm. And I like Kasich, and he is certainly the most qualified of the Republican clown car for the job. He's got the most government experience, he's got the most executive experience, but government experience has never been a bigger negative. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will say what he says and do what he does, and he did that with the New York Times in a behind-the-scenes, off-the-record meeting with either their editorial board or select writers, whatever the case may be. The New York Times says they won't release the transcripts of that discussion unless Trump asked for it because it was off the record. Having said that, someone's leaking already. Mm-hmm. And the leaks that have come out have said that Trump indicated, that whole immigration thing, I'm flexible on that.
A flip-flop? No.
So, but in other words, the core issue, I'm going to build that wall. I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. He's saying, once I get the gig, we'll see what happens. That's Donald Trump. Ann is the first caller. Let's go to Ann here. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
And I have good news for you. Do you have to go to work this morning?
Yes, I do. Driving there. Well, not driving. On my way.
Oh, you're on the way now. Well, the roads are fine. The crews did a fantastic job. You can go as fast as you want. You can swerve lane to lane. You can go backwards if you want.
Don't go backwards.
So isn't that exciting? You figured you get up this morning, it'd be a skating rink. It's fine.
It is. It's nice out here with us, too. I'm driving between Freeport and Rockford.
Yeah, and there's a, come on, it's nothing. It's great.
That's right. And yes,
then, and then next week, did you look ahead next week? I mean, you know, because I was the weatherman and grumpy old man, you know, I'm very much involved with the weather business.
You are the new almanac, basically.
Next week, we're in the 60s for two or three of the days, and then the 50s all week long.
How about that?
Pretty
It'll
great.
Be wonderful.
All right, for being on the show today and for being great and for listening and all of those things, we have many prizes for you, including a MyPillow. I know how you've always wanted MyPillow. Well, you can't have it. You have to have your own, so now you have your own MyPillow.
Thank you.
That's from MyPillow.com. We'll get you pizza from Lou Malnati's, 1-800-LOU-TO-GO, LouMalnati's.com. Who's your favorite Chicago sports team?
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks throw rug, not to be thrown at your husband or boyfriend or family members, but to actually be thrown on the ground so you can step on it. It's perfect for a den, a bedroom, or a fan cave. That's from Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can afford to be floored. Go to IWantToBeFloored.com. And let's also give you the ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas Coffee from your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.
Wow, very generous. Thank you very much.
Well, it's nice of you to listen. And Kevin, have you checked on this? I don't know if we can do this. I was going to give Ann Derek Rose's knees.
I don't think she'd want them.
No, I don't. Thanks.
Good point. We'll keep them. All right, Ann, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, you as well. Let's get to traffic. And it's probably nothing, right? I mean, is that the deal? It's nothing?
You'd think so, but no, because people still can't drive.
You making stuff up, or is this really happening?
This is actually really happening.
All right, traffic now on WGN. Pat Brady will be on with us from Springfield in the 7 o'clock hour. Alex Stone at 7:10 from Florida, and Ryan Burrow at 7:10 from Florida as well. Ryan, of course, works for us and ABC News, and both will be on from Florida, one of the major states today, to be dealt with. Coach Q after 8:30 this morning. And then after 9, Patty Vasquez is in San Diego. San Diego. You know what San Diego means, don't you?
San Diego.
It means a whale's fin.
I think it's San Diego.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so.
And we're still taking your text ideas as well, interspersed whenever you have time on Stevie Awards. We'll do this next Monday. Stevie Award nominations, Stevie Award categories, moments from the show in 2015 you think are memorable because they were great, they were terrible, or anything in between.
Okay. There's so many ideas just flowing through all of our heads right now.
One listener suggested an award for least likely to let a guest finish a sentence. And I was the nominee 4 times.
I was going to say the only nominee?
Yeah, I was the only nominee. Yeah.
By the way, can I add this real quick? Somebody sent an email about Colorado. It's not one of the Super Tuesday states, but they are caucusing today. So they're caucusing today, but their votes aren't going to count. There's 37 delegates. That is not going to be until the convention.
Yeah, it's a practice caucus.
Right. Yeah. It is a practice caucus, yeah.
Nick DiGilio joins us now. Did you do your Oscar wrap-up show?
I did.
Yeah, and your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I did well on my predictions. You know, everybody was saying The Revenant. I went with Spotlight, and Spotlight won.
Show was a snooze, though.
It was too long. There were moments in it that I thought were pretty good. I thought Chris Rock killed during his monologue, but then went back to the well one too many times for the same, you know, topic. I thought, you know, Kim coming out to fight the power in the first 10 minutes of his monologue, I thought were great. And, you know, throughout the night then, but he kept going back to the same jokes over and over again. Got a little tiresome. But overall, I thought he did a good job, and he was put in a position where, I think, he was put in a position where 90% of his material you know, was already written for him before he even got there. It, you know, he had to address the issue. He was put in a position where that was mostly what his material was going to be. And for the most part, I thought he did a good job. Show was too long. The whole thing with the crawls, the thank you crawls.
Yeah, it didn't work.
That didn't stop people from getting cut off. You know, I mean, I think it's a good idea. You know, best presenter of the night by far, Louis C.K. Hilarious.
Yeah, great speech.
And the best speeches of the night were Pete Docter, the writer and director of Inside Out, who told kids that if they're feeling weird, you know, in their adolescence, that they should just create and make things and make movies and make art and draw. I thought that was beautiful. And DiCaprio's speech was the best of the night. So
yeah, and I saw a Facebook post from you about your physical reaction to DiCaprio. And I think that's one of those you may want to take back. I mean, you are a public figure. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Okay. Well, people, but you know, I mean, but you know.
But DiCaprio, yeah, but DiCaprio's speech shouldn't have caused that physical reaction in you.
Wait, so that'd be 2 years in a row, right? Because didn't Matthew McConaughey win last year?
Well, McConaughey would cause that in him.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but not DiCaprio.
Yeah.
All right, now I have a way to shorten the Oscars to 45 minutes. I want you to take notes on this.
Okay.
Anybody who is unknown to the public, and by the way, the only one that will determine how unknown they are is me, and this goes completely counter to Louis C.K.'s speech because it was a very good speech. The point of Louis C.K.'s speech was this. The people that win Best Documentary are broke. They're not going to make a nickel. They're going home in a Honda Civic. They're going to sell their Oscar later tonight on eBay. So let them come up on stage. I'm sorry, Louis, I don't have that kind of time. So if they don't know you, if no one knows you other than your parents, we bring the Oscar to your table. There's people, there's hot girls that just bring the Oscar to your table, drop it off. You get a second on camera, bang, and you're done. Okay? Anybody else that makes the stage, even if you're not a big star, the only way you could be on the stage is if you had hired illegal immigrants to do your work and you're still trying to hide them. That would tell me you have some measure of money and you're a hypocrite, which would make you part of Hollywood. That, to me, allows you to get on stage and make your speech. Your mic is cut in 30 seconds. No Flight of the Valkyries. Oh, by the way, if there's a documentary on the Holocaust and you're playing a German composer to get them off stage, probably a bad idea. So that's a bad idea. So cut their mic at 30 seconds and then don't cut off the five major awards, including the 2-time Oscar winning director who barely speaks English. I mean, come on. You're 45 minutes. You're out the door. You're off to the parties.
Wow. I couldn't disagree with that more. But
that is the most logical speech I have ever made on this show about anything.
I don't know. For me, some of the best speeches were made by people that we didn't know.
No time for those, Nick. Sure, they're lovely people. We don't have that kind of time.
All right. Totally disagree, but that's okay.
See, and I know you guys hated The Crawl. I didn't mind The Crawl because I think those are people, you know, the crew and the cast. But you're right, though, Nick. Then they went, or maybe you said this, Steve. Then they went back up and thanked the same people who were in The Crawl.
Yeah. Yeah,
they did. The idea was to get them to stop, you know, to get them to be concise and not have the Flight of the Valkyries play them off. But almost every single speech Sunday night got cut off by the music, so The Crawl didn't help at all. And I like it. In theory, I think The Crawl is a good idea, and I kind of like that it was there. I also like that when presenters came out, there were little facts about the presenters that were put up there, too, like how many times they've been nominated and for what movies and little things like that. So I thought that was good.
What if you had Liev Schreiber, one of the great voices now, one of the great voiceover, great actor, by the way, but a great voiceover artist as well, just all of HBO Sports. What if you had him standing on stage and he would announce three people that you like to thank? So somebody comes up, it's best boom mic operator. It's Chuck, the union guy. And Chuck comes up to accept it. Chuck would like to thank his wife, Veronica, his son, Timmy, and his best friend, Bob. That's it. I mean, who doesn't want to hear Liev Schreiber?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think that's a...
Nick, you got to be taking notes. These are all great ideas.
Yeah, I'm jotting all of it down, Steve.
Okay, good. What are you doing this week?
Well, this week, you know, I got the show. I'm back. Today was my first day back. And next week, a week from today, is my screening of John Carpenter's The Thing on the big screen.
The Thing next Tuesday night.
Yes. John Carpenter's The Thing, Kurt Russell, Aliens, amazing special effects, really scary, really classic movie. And it's based, if you can believe this, it's 34 years old, Steve, movie.
I know.
Oh, my God. And by the way, George Kennedy, huh? Give it up for George Kennedy.
Well, I couldn't believe he was 91.
91 years old,
man. That's a pretty good run, man. That's a good run.
Great run. And here's the weird thing, Steve, and I know that you and I are both fans of this gentleman. Mm-hmm. The first movie I thought of, it was not Cool Hand Luke. It was not the disaster movies in the 70s. It was Modern Romance with Albert Brooks.
It's a great movie.
Where he played himself, and he has that great line with the movie within the movie, where it's a science fiction movie, and he says to the guys, "We need that code," and one of the guys says, "I think I know the code," and he turns to him and goes, "You know nothing." It's
right.
One of the greatest lines ever, and that's the first thing I thought of when the great George Kennedy passed away.
I thought of the fact that he was able to survive working with O.J. without O.J. murdering him.
Hey, Steve, are you watching this O.J., People versus O.J. thing?
Yeah, I can't. I can't watch it. I tried. I really did. I tried. It's too much of a soap opera. There's a lot of overacting going on. It's too weird.
I'm addicted, man.
And what are they on? Where are we at? Where are we at? Are we at the trial? Are we at the civil trial? Where are we
at? No, we're getting the trial has just started. They assembled the Dream Team. At the end of last week's episode, the Dream Team comes in, and they see Christopher Darden and Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J., leans over to Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran. He goes, "Where'd you get the black guy?"
You know what? I knew Johnny Cochran a little bit, but I don't doubt that that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Oh, no, O.J. said that.
O.J. said it. Okay.
Yeah, O.J. said, "Where'd you get the black guy?" to Johnny Cochran. By the way, if you knew Johnny Cochran a little bit, you should at least watch parts of this just for Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran. He is great.
I don't doubt it. I've heard the same thing. But, of course, what's the number one problem with Cuba Gooding Jr.? O.J. says his head was too small to play
him. That's right.
Yeah, that's the point, O.J. Definitely that's the point. Good to see O.J. locked in. It's a story about you murdering your wife and an innocent man, and you're going, the dude that's playing me's head's too small. Yeah, that'd be my takeaway. Unbelievable. You know who Trump's running mate ought to be? O.J. It's 6:31. Thank you, buddy. We're back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:42 now. You know a kid that goes above and beyond for his family or his community? Nominate them for Kid of the Week. Go to WGNradio.com/contest. Submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18. That you think ought to be Kid of the Week. Doesn't have to be your kid. Doesn't have to be a kid you know. Could be a kid you hear about that you want us to know about. And in December, we'll choose a Kid of the Year again from all the Kid of the Week winners. And the fine people at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch will again give us $5,000 to give to that kid as we did last year. We thank you. Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, sponsors of Kid of the Week. Let me have you say hello to Allison Finn. Good morning, Allison.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine. What do you do? You have a job? Married? Kids?
No.
Oh. You're in middle school?
No, I'm in Wausau Elementary School.
Oh, you are? What grade are you in?
I'm in fifth grade.
I'm sorry, fifth or sixth?
Sixth.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be like a babysitter, and I want to help young children.
Oh, that's nice. Do you do a little of that now, or are you just learning how?
I'm just learning how.
Yeah. Where's your interest in little babies come from?
I don't know.
Just like them. That's all. You just like
them. Yeah.
Well, here's some
folks. I have younger cousins.
Okay. And you have to be the one watching them. Do they listen to you when you tell them what to do?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, it's nice to talk to you. Let me tell you, Andrea, about our friend Allison here. She plays basketball on the fifth grade feeder team from Buffalo Grove. And learning the game. Plays with all of her heart, never feels bad, always helps other kids. She's in Girl Scouts, earns her badges with honor. This year she gave away boxes of cookies she ordered for herself to a pregnant coworker of mine because, as Allison said, she's more deserving. She volunteers with her grandfather at the ARC, providing food for the needy. And more than anything else, she's just got a great heart, always thinks of other people first. She spent the winter break with pneumonia, never complained. After she was homebound in 2 weeks, just wanted to help her in the house, do whatever she could. She doesn't have all the awards that other kids might have. Doesn't have to be the most popular girl in school, but she's the kindest, sweetest kid. And the most decent person I know. Don't tell her sisters I said that. This is from Mom. And that's why I'm nominating her for... I'm from Dad or Mom? From Dad, sorry. That's why I'm nominating her for Kid of the Week. To kiss up a little more, she's a fan of Skilling and Mr. Fix-It. And she also helped shave my head so I look like Cochran.
Oh.
You helped shave your dad's head?
Yep.
That alone makes her Kid of the Week.
Do you giggle when you do it?
What?
Do you giggle when you do it? I think that'd be funny for a kid to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because look how funny Dad looks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we turn into cartoon characters at some point. Allison, here's why I love what your dad says about you. Aside from the fact that you're obviously a good kid. This is what all kids ought to do. This is just a good kid being a good kid. You don't have to put out a fire. You know, you don't have to raise $1 billion to be Kid of the Week. You just got to be a good kid, doing something for your family. You're making the world a better place just because you're you.
And giving away Girl Scout cookies is huge.
It's a big deal, Allison. I hope you didn't give away the good ones.
I try not to, but I did.
Well, congratulations. You're Kid of the Week. Kevin, what do we give it, Allison?
We'll give Allison a pizza party courtesy of Lou Malnati's, 1-800-LOU-TO-GO.
Nice.
How about a MyPillow?
That's great. Yeah, she's got to get her sleep. She's
so
very
like
busy.
A MyPillow, yeah. And then maybe we'll get her another one of those 3-foot by 4-foot Chicago sports team throw rugs with one of her favorite Chicago sports team's logo. It's courtesy of Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can afford to be floored. Visit iwanttobefloored.com.
Who's your favorite team, Allison?
I like the Blackhawks.
There you go. Blackhawks throw rug. Everybody loves the Blackhawks. This young lady reminds me of a young Andrea Darlis. I could see you being the pleaser.
Oh, I wouldn't give the Girl Scout cookies away, though.
Oh, okay. So, Allison, you're a better person.
That's right.
Allison, thanks. Go to school. Have fun.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on. Sounded older than, what'd she say, 10?
I know. Oh, don't all of our Kid of the Week sound older, probably because they've done so much.
But I love Dad bragging about his daughter.
Isn't that adorable?
Great? Yeah,
I love that.
And I could just see her shaving his head, giggling. Look at you, Dad. You look like a fool.
And him saying, make me look like Steve Cochran.
Yeah, well, that's a dream of all men. It can only be realized by a few. 6:47, and Adam Chappelle standing by. He's in for Mary all week. Doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Here's your traffic. Is astronaut Mark Kelly married?
Mark Kelly is. Yeah, he's married to Gabby Giffords.
Right. And Scott Kelly, the guy that's been in space, is he married?
That's a good question.
Let's go to the research department. Kevin, Google that. and see if we can find out. The question is, if Scott Kelly comes back to Earth today, what's the first thing you do when you got back? First thing that the astronaut will do is go straight back once he hears about Trump.
He is married. Oh, jeez.
Is he? I think he was used to be married.
Oh, he's divorced?
Oh, yeah, you're right, Kevin. He got divorced a few years
2009.
Ago.
2009.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I don't see a single dude going, honey, guess what came up at work? I get to go into outer space for a year.
Well,
I know the kids have a lot going on right now, but we'll find some way to make it work. If you need to call me, call Houston, and they'll get a hold of me.
And tell them you have a problem.
Twice a week at 2 a.m. and 6 p.m., depending on where the sun is.
But didn't Mark Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband, go back in space?
Yeah, he flew up, yeah.
But not for a whole year?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he just went up. He left his wallet at the space station. He went to get his wallet, and he came back. From the 708, first thing I'm going to do when I get back to Earth, trip and fall. Damn gravity. From the 815, head to my favorite restaurant for a decent meal and a whole lot of booze. Can you drink? Like, do they have freeze-dried hooch? Let me go to Dave on this. Dave, do they have freeze-dried hooch on the International Space Station?
Well, you can use Tang as a mixer. Beyond that, I'm not sure.
That makes sense, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably do vodka Tang, right? Like a pseudo-screwdriver?
Like a screwdriver in space?
Wasn't that the name of a bad guy in the movies, Vodka Tang?
Yeah.
I think that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the Bond films.
Yeah, I think that's true. 815, first thing I do is take a shower and sleep in my own bed. Oh, you got to shoot higher than that. I mean, yeah, that's important, but you got to shoot higher than that. You got to, insist on something big.
That would be the worst part of space, I think.
What's that?
Smelling.
You can't smell in space.
That's not true. Come on.
That's what I'm hearing.
You can smell in space.
Let me go to Grzanich, who's been in outer space in his head forever. Steve, can you smell anything in space?
Actually, you smell, it's like a burnt toast smell. When I've interviewed astronauts who have been there, they say it's sort of like a burnt toast, burnt wire.
That would
just
stink.
Just a faint
for
smell.
For a year? That would be annoying.
Yeah. You get used to it. And
why does space smell like burnt toast?
Not sure. And you also lose some of your taste buds, so they actually pack a lot of hot sauce. And so they put hot sauce in everything because you can lose your taste. They don't know why that's happening either. So,
can you drink in space?
I don't know that you can drink
booze.
While you're on duty.
Booze.
Yeah, can you drink booze?
You have to remember that the Russians are pretty much running the place.
Oh, that's true.
Vodka.
Oh, the Russians wouldn't go into outer space without booze.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's see what else from the 312. First thing I do when I get back from space, get my taxes done.
Good call.
How much would that suck? You've been in space for a year. You land, you go, oh, I got to go see the accountant. 847. First thing I do, I go to Portillo's.
Oh, yeah. Real food.
217. I go to a bar with Dave Ennett and have some beer and wings.
And first round's on me.
There you
go. In fact, the whole thing's on me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, because he left the wallet in the space.
Yeah, how about that? Dave goes, listen, I know you just came back from space and you're like an international hero, but what do you say we go splitsies?
We're cutting you off at one.
You probably haven't had a chance to go buy an ATM yet.
Yeah, exactly. First thing I do when I get back from space, pick up my dry cleaning. See, there's a lot of things that are out there, you know, that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what Mark Kelly's ex or Scott Kelly's ex-wife is thinking about all this. You think she's like at home with her sister or mother? This is why I divorced him. It's always about him. It's always about, oh, I'm going to fly off to space for an entire year. Yeah, you do that. Where do I get to go? Where do I get to go? When do we ever go anywhere together?
Do you think he calls her and he's like, how you doing? I've been in space for a year, baby.
What's that burnt toast smell?
I think I'd just sit in the toilet for about an hour.
Ah, see, we were doing so great, and then that.
You just don't have
to. No, I don't want to think about it. Now I got to spend a whole day trying to get that image out of my head. All right, you go to your room. Oh, wait, you're already in your room. It's 7, make it 6:57. News next on 720 WGN. But I'm going to do this in a way where we're just going to point out facts. Just facts. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. It's a fact-only 7 o'clock hour. Kevin, do you have the buzzer ready?
I do, yes.
Okay, if I say something that's not factual, I want you to hit the buzzer. What will that sound like?
That will be one of these
guys. Okay, fine.
Okay, we don't want to break the computer, though, so.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Just the facts, man.
Had tremendous calls from tremendous establishment people and non-establishment people, and the party's going to get bigger. They're not going to get the nomination. I haven't even focused on Hillary Clinton yet, and I can tell you the one person that Hillary Clinton doesn't want to run against is me, and I have that on good knowledge.
7:10 in the morning as campaign 2016 rolls out. Fact, Donald Trump loses to Hillary Clinton and to your crazy uncle from Vermont in all polling head-to-head. It's a fact. It's Alex Stone, who apparently was on vacation in Florida and got interrupted by this campaign. I wish people would just leave you alone.
Well, happy Justin Bieber's birthday today. Oh, we're talking about the campaign.
Less important, yes, but we should focus on it. Where are you in Florida?
In Palm Beach right now, and this is where Trump tonight is going to hold a news conference. Unusual for a front runner, or really any candidate for that matter, to hold a news conference instead of an election night party on a Super Tuesday. Every campaign for as many years as I can remember has always, if they think they're going to win, held a big rally and party, typically in a state where there is voting going on. But he is going to be at his club, his private club here in Palm Beach, and summoning the media to come and ask him questions. We have to believe that the campaign is using this as a chance, thinking that they're going to have a very big night tonight, which polling would indicate that they will, to claim that he has won the nomination. That's something that his opponents would say, wait a second, you have not won the nomination, but his campaign will likely claim that he has. And if he has a big night tonight, he will definitely be going down that road. He will be hard to stop. The big question being Texas, 155 delegates. Right now, Ted Cruz about 10 points ahead in Texas. But if Trump could pull that off, he would be almost impossible to stop at that point.
And even if he finishes second because of the proportional delegation of the delegates, he could still have a very big number out of Texas as well.
He'll still do fine when it comes to the delegate count.
It's Alex Stone from ABC News.
Morning, Alex. First of all, enjoy what's left of your quote-unquote vacation.
I actually got sent here for work, unfortunately. Uh-huh. I didn't get to play here.
Right, yeah. You're like Ryan Burrow. He said, yeah. I said, go to these different restaurants for dinner. He said, yeah, I'm not going to have time to do that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I do have to say, though, as somebody who is based out of Los Angeles, when we typically start in L.A. at 2 o'clock in the morning, here it is 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's a much more reasonable hour. There are actually cars on the streets and birds chirping. It's very nice.
Yeah, Alex is the West Coast ABC guy, has a ridiculous schedule.
Oh, I know. It's no ridiculous. Kidding, right?
Yeah.
Alex, have to ask you, I thought it was extremely weird, too, for Trump to pre-announce this press conference that he's having tonight, and there was early speculation that he might, and I don't even want to use the word apologize, but maybe explain some of his rhetoric toward Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, David Duke, who knows? I don't foresee that, though. You see this more as being kind of a, you know, I've got the nomination, a victory lap, yeah.
You know, it would seem that way, but you never know with Trump. Is he going to say tonight, is he going to kind of mix them together and say, you know what, I'm going to be the nominee, and now as the nominee, he needs to kind of mend fences because he knows that these other guys really don't have a chance and pivot his campaign against Hillary Clinton. He has been rough against Marco Rubio in the last couple of days, mainly after Rubio came after him regarding his spray tan and his eyes and some other things. And it will tonight be that pivot. Potentially, and what are the rules of this news conference going to be? Everything that the Trump campaign does is how the Trump campaign wants to run it. If you want to cover them, you have to pretty much give yourself up to they're going to tell you how it's done. At events, rallies, they put you in a cage, essentially, and you're not allowed to get out. There was this scuff-up with a photographer from Time magazine yesterday where he tried to get out to cover a protest, and the Secret Service grabbed him around the neck and body slammed him to the ground after they had some words back and forth. We know the rules, that if you leave the pin, you're out and you're in serious trouble. And during most of the events, he tells the crowd to turn around and mock and taunt the media. It's a different campaign. We've never seen anything like this before. So tonight's news conference at Mar-a-Lago, his private club, huge estate here in Palm Beach, it's going to be an interesting experience to see how they want to run this. They're bringing us to his property, and we will be on their terms.
Alex, speaking of Marco Rubio, I see him in the last couple of days being very on the offensive. I'm seeing more insults. It's almost as though someone in the campaign said, you need to step up and start being kind of a mini version of Donald Trump's and start letting the insults fly, which he has done. I don't know if I see that helping him, though.
Yeah, is it too late? Because this isn't who he has been up until now. Look, he's got to win something tonight because he keeps saying he will beat Donald Trump. Well, time is running out. He's got to show that tonight. And he's the guy with all of the endorsements from the establishment, getting those around Nevada. And then in Nevada, Donald Trump ran away with it. So he's got to prove he can do something tonight. And he has tried by changing his tactic. But it kind of reminds you of what Jeb Bush did in the final weeks, where all of a sudden his tactic changed and his rhetoric changed as well. And it just didn't seem natural in the way of what we've heard through the whole campaign. So will it work? We'll have to see tonight. Maybe it will. But Rubio needs to win something. Ted Cruz needs to win something. Texas, preferably for his campaign. But he hasn't won since Iowa, and they need to show they can win again.
Well, a combination of facts and educated speculation seems to indicate that the buzz has shifted from interesting reality show guy to, hey, look at all the things he's doing, to largely negative now. The majority of the news being reported about Trump, outside of the fact that he's leading in so many states, is negative news because of the sticking his foot in his mouth in various ways. There's a New York Times story that he sat down for an off-the-record conversation that somehow has leaked, and the leaks indicate that he said, the immigration plan, I could be flexible. Is that getting any traction in Florida?
We're beginning to hear some talk about it as it just starts to come out now. And in Florida, early voting is already underway, even though this is not a Super Tuesday state. And in fact, he's making stops today in non-Super Tuesday states. He's so confident. He's going to Ohio, Kentucky, and then ending his time here in Florida, where the rest of the candidates, some of them are ending here in Florida, but they're spending other time in the Super Tuesday states. But you're right, and a lot of what you mentioned in the negative news, Trump claims, is the biased media coming out against him and that they won't give him a fair shake on anything. And that's where it comes into him telling everybody to taunt the media when they see him. And, you know, people come by and they yell things at us and they call us scum and all kinds of things because he says that we're just out to try to take him down because we are not accustomed to his type of candidate. So he will continue to claim that all that negative news is just the media making it up, but there has been quite a bit in the news cycles the last couple of days.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very presidential. Oh, wait, that's not a fact? No, that is a fact. It doesn't feel very presidential. I'm trying to stick to the facts this hour, Alex. It's not easy.
We'll have to see what they do tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make tonight look very presidential. They did in Nevada. They had the American flags in front of the blue backdrop. I have a feeling you're going to see something very similar tonight to try to give that presidential image.
And, well, I almost said have fun. Well, yeah, have fun. Why not? Alex Stone, our friend from ABC News.
Thank you, guys. Well, I am in my bathing suit right now. It's quite nice down here.
Yeah, we've got the camera on you. It's a hot look.
Yeah, this is a Speedo. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, boy, I've got a different angle.
It's a WGN Speedo. It says WGN across the front of it.
Yeah, and Steve Cochran on the back, which makes me really uncomfortable. All right, enjoy your day, will you? Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
7:18 traffic, and Adam Chappelle's in for Mary, and then we'll check in with Ryan Burrow, who's also in Florida, but I believe he's north, right?
He is, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you have for us, Adam?
If you say it's free, you're never going to get costs under control. The money is just going to flow, and they can keep raising the costs. We got to get these costs down. That's what I'm focused on.
I misspoke. I thought Ryan was north. He's actually south. He's on South Beach. Ryan's in Miami, and that, of course, was Secretary of State Clinton. Hey, Ryan, do you know, do we refer to her as Madam Secretary, Senator Clinton? What's the etiquette? Is it the last title she held?
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be Secretary of State, Secretary, Madam Secretary. But, you know, I got to tell you, when you're throwing names around so much, usually we can just go, you know, with Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. In fact, we could go HRC if you want. That's kind of a cool code name, right?
Yeah. Everybody gets three initials. Yeah, that's exactly right.
We've kind of fallen into calling them Hillary and Bernie, which I know we shouldn't do, but we have.
Bernie claims he's still raising money, and a lot of it, but the buzz certainly feels, we were talking about buzz a second ago, the buzz certainly feels like it's all Clinton now. What's it feel like in Florida?
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling going into today with this big Super Tuesday kind of southern primary. Seven of these states are in the south, and Hillary Clinton could really run up the score here. Texas, Virginia, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, obviously Arkansas, where she was a former first lady. It looks like she could really, really do some damage in those states. And while Bernie Sanders does stand a chance in some of the northern states, like Massachusetts, could possibly pull off a win there. Obviously, his home state of Vermont and maybe Minnesota. You know, he's really, really got to win big in order to kind of fight back what she can accomplish today, which is, you know, make that gap about 100 delegates. And once you get to that point, it's going to be very, very difficult for Sanders to come back.
Ryan, any chance that Rubio, I would automatically assume Rubio would win Florida, not so much maybe now. I think he was up by only 10 points in the last poll.
Actually, Rubio's behind.
Rubio's
still behind?
Yeah.
Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, it doesn't look like he's in the lead here. Obviously, we're still 2 weeks away from Rubio even competing in Florida. Although I have to point out that there are a lot of people voting, as in Illinois. You know, the in-person voting started. Same thing's going on here in Florida. This isn't even a Super Tuesday state, but because of the fact that so many people are heading to early vote, that's why all the candidates are here. They're trying to, you know, get some traction because who knows what could happen in the next 2 weeks. Before the primary here, but Rubio's got to bank some wins. I mean, let's face it; they've got 12 states up for grabs. There's 11 states, and you know, America, Samoa, and he's got to bank something if he's going to take on Trump at all. Everyone seems to think that Florida is kind of his make or break state, but that's still 2 weeks away. He's got to get a couple wins or at least bank a huge amount of delegates going into that.
You know, the hilarious thing: this campaign's so ridiculous, so upside down. I could see a press conference tonight where any of the candidates would claim American Samoa as a major victory.
11 delegates, by the way, on the Democratic side for American Samoa.
They all count. So the people you're talking to in regards to Hillary and Bernie, are they feeling like it's over? Because it sure feels early to declare that based on how hot the crazy old man from Vermont was just a couple of weeks ago.
You know, what's interesting is this new CNN poll that came out. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see this, that shows the head-to-heads, Clinton versus Rubio, Clinton versus Cruz, and so forth, the possible matchups. And Clinton actually holds a pretty big lead over Donald Trump, but would lose or is within the margin of error in races against Cruz or Rubio. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders would win against all three Republican candidates. So if you kind of step back and kind of unpack that a little bit, you can see that Hillary Clinton still does have some trust issues, but still would have a wide margin of victory over Donald Trump, who probably also has some trust issues as well. But we'll see how today shakes out. It could be a big celebration for Hillary Clinton here in Miami. We'll see. So not only will, you know, could she get a win, but, you know, celebrate Justin Bieber's birthday at the same time.
It's big. It's big. It's very, very big.
Ryan, real quick, I know we talked to Alex Stone briefly about this Trump press conference. Highly unusual for a candidate to call a news conference, not really a victory celebration or a victory lap. What do you foresee?
Yeah, highly unusual Donald Trump. That's a surprise.
Well, that is true. Yeah, that's the only way he rolls.
I don't understand it. I mean, I talked to Alex before late last night, and he was surprised that he didn't even understand what was going on. Usually we're used to seeing, I mean, as you know, Andrea, following them in Iowa and New Hampshire, usually you focus on a state, you know, you do everything in that state, you make your announcement in that state, you leave that state, and everyone's happy. This is kind of strange. There are 12 states up for grabs, and nobody seems to be in the states where it's going on. So I don't exactly understand what the campaign is doing on the Trump side, but, you know, really at this point, what's to understand, right? He's in the lead, and they can do whatever they want.
It's Trump tonight at Mar-a-Lago. All the candidates will be flocking to Florida, regardless of where they are in the country, after the vote counts are in tonight. Ted Cruz will obviously be in Texas, but Ryan keeping an eye on Miami and South Florida in regards to Hillary and Bernie largely. But I know you're running around all day, so thanks for it. And you'll be on WGN throughout the day.
All right, Dave, by the way, the Bulls are down here, too. You want me to grab some sound? So post-game, I'll get some Hillary. I'll get some Bulls post-game sound. I'll shoot it your way. Yeah,
I don't think you're going to have time, Ryan, but I appreciate the offer.
Ryan, running hard on Red Bull. I mean, he's everywhere. Yeah. 727. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Pat Brady's in Springfield today. He'll join us in just a second. At Pat_Brady, with my pledge to stick to the facts in the discussion of the Trump this hour, here are more of the facts. His claims on policies have been nothing short of vague. If you go to his campaign website, his official website, they are very vague notions of what his specific policies would be, keeping in mind that if you approach this as the world's most important job interview, if someone sat down to you to be hired, would you like them to be vague? Would that make you want to hire them?
I would think not.
He wants the government to be larger. Larger. All of the programs he's talking about, especially the excess of presidential power, would add billions of dollars to the federal deficit, and the government would be larger and have more control over your lives. The only two things that he has suggested as specific cuts to the federal budget are the EPA being shifted to the states. And the reason the EPA was designed to be a federal program, not a state program, is because state agendas could cause environmental protections to be less. If you're going to have environmental protections, the idea that the government would be a better steward over the national environmental agenda than to give it up to individual states, which may be specific for, say, coal plants in West Virginia and things of that nature. He also wants to cut Common Core. Unfortunately, no one in Trump's campaign told him Common Core is not a federal budget item. Hard to cut it if you don't have control over it.
And he's reiterated that in every speech. When I was in New Hampshire, he kept saying Common Core, gone.
No cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and an increase in military spending means as much as 60% of the federal budget would be off limits. Again, very difficult to cut deficits and cut spending if that's what you're going to do. Guaranteed health care for everybody. This ranting about people dying in the streets, which I don't even understand. Are people dropping dead in the streets because they don't have health care? It's news to me. But again, if you are going to have government health care, that is the absolute legacy program of President Obama. Again, this is a Donald Trump idea.
Right. Well, he wants to completely just
government
health care. I know.
No, he wants government health care. He wants government health care for everybody. That's my point. He's saying two things. He's saying repeal Obamacare and replace it with Trump care. Well, the Trump care program has direct ties to what Obamacare is already doing. So it's baffling to me. And again, these are all factual. You can't argue these. Presidential power. He wants to dramatically increase presidential power. Again, there's an unfortunate lack of understanding of what the president can do. Now, if you believe anything that's being leaked from the New York Times, and I know anybody that's a hardcore right-wing Republican is never going to believe anything that comes from the New York Times, but Donald Trump may have sat down with the New York Times. We did sit down with him, but he may have said this week in a private New York Times meeting that his immigration policy would be flexible once he's elected. You can't say, I'm going to build a beautiful wall. I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be beautiful. And Mexico is going to pay for it. By the way, fact, Mexico ain't paying for it. And if Mexico's not paying for your big, beautiful wall and you actually do build it, that means you're paying for it. And if the federal government's paying for his immigration policy as he's laid it out, whether he agrees to stick to his own plan or not, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars being raised to just cover what the cost of all of this immigration policy would be. The tax business piece of this, talking about how he would force businesses who push jobs overseas to pay penalty taxes. The president does not have the power to impose taxes. That can only go through Congress. The president can't do it. So when you get to the end of the road here, you have to say, once he's elected, there's going to be a lot of things that he can't get done.
And that he's going to have to answer for.
If this were not the fact-based hour, I would tell you it's everything he said so far. But I don't know that, because that's not a fact. He may be able to get some things done. But again, based on the facts, and that's just a handful of facts that I've laid out, I'm really curious as to how you would have belief in Donald Trump. That's my curiosity. Now let's talk about failures for a second. I'm just going to give you a couple of failures because he's being held up as this massively successful businessman. In some ways, he's much more like a late night guy selling stuff on TV or a guy in primetime that hosts a reality show. All substance, no core. The Trump mortgage program that he brought out in 2006, and the direct quote was, "It's a great time to start a mortgage company." It's about a year before the S hit the fan. It was out of business a year later. Trump Airlines, a failure. He put his name on vodka, Trump Vodka. This was a personal upset to Dave when Trump Vodka failed. The casinos, which went bankrupt, and you know the old joke, how does a casino go bankrupt? That's where the money's printed. The casinos that went bankrupt were because of his business management and the team he put in place. The teams, you know, one of the reasons you're not hearing from people that run his businesses is because there's a lot of, again, facts. There's a lot of very shady folks that have been hired to run these businesses, including the guy that ran the mortgage company, who was held up as a legendary Wall Street expert who turned out to be a friend of one of his sons.
His sons run a lot of his companies, too, by the way.
But a friend of one of your sons who just got a broker's license probably shouldn't run your big mortgage company with your name on it.
Probably not.
And Trump University, which he's in court now over, and he'll actually have to make an appearance in court in April next month. To testify as to why the lawsuit should or should not go forward in regards to him being the scam artist that was behind Trump University. And that doesn't address the Polish workers that were hired to build Trump Tower, some of which were slave labor that were never paid, according to NBC News and various other news outlets. You got to look a little deeper.
I know.
You got to look a little deeper, folks. You just do.
I still maintain that people, the Trump supporters, are supporting him and they like him. Because he is not a politician, even though many would may argue that he is. That's what they're looking at. They're not looking at the facts. They're looking at the fact, well, he's not a former senator or congressman.
That is factually, it's not my opinion, factually, that's a wasted vote.
That is true.
It's 7:48.
You're not lying.
Adam's back. He's got your traffic update. I'm going to turn this over to Pat because Pat Brady's in Springfield after that. And Pat brought up something yesterday, which I think is a very good point about the state of Illinois and what we can do. Stand by for that. But before we get to that, Adam, what are the cars doing? It's 7:53. People ask me all the time, okay, who are you voting for, smart guy? I would support John Kasich fully, fully for president. I don't think he has a chance to win. But of the available candidates that are out there, Kasich would be the guy that would be the best case scenario for the job of those that are left in the field. Pat Brady joins us now. Pat_Brady. That's your social media situation. Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
You're in Springfield?
I am in Springfield.
I'm sorry. All right. So you and I were talking on the phone yesterday, and I thought what you brought up was really an important thing to tell the people of Illinois. And that is we have a chance to, well, literally send a message.
Yeah, and I think the people of Illinois are pretty sophisticated voters, given that the environment we operate in. And Donald Trump tonight, there's no real bad case scenario for him. He either wins it outright tonight or he muddles the field so much, picks up a bunch of delegates. And ultimately, he's going to be the nominee unless somehow there's a brokered convention. So the reality is the Republican Party, the conservative movement, is a party of Abraham Lincoln. We can stop Trump in Illinois at least and send a message that his kind of xenophobic, racist, ridiculous politics doesn't sell here. And I think everybody should vote for Rubio or Kasich or whoever's left and send a message to the Donald, like I'm sending a message to Donald. I will never vote for Donald Trump for anything. And I think that's the kind of message he needs when he comes to the land of Lincoln.
And for people that don't know you, and most people do, you're a lifelong Republican.
I've been walking Republican precincts since I was 7 years old. The first time I did it was for Richard Nixon. I've raised, given and raised tens of thousands of dollars, worked very, very hard as a volunteer on many, many campaigns. And this is the first time in my life I will not be voting for the Republican nominee for president.
You know, one thing I haven't said in a long time, because so much of this has been about Trump, but one thing I haven't said in a long time is having interviewed Trump many times, having spent some time with him on a golf course, I don't have a personal axe to grind with Donald Trump. If he wanted to host a reality show, again, if he wanted to run his businesses successfully or into the ground, good for him. If he wants to, I defended his sign on his building. Listen, he's entitled to do whatever he is as an American, or does as an American. This country is too important to turn it over to someone who I feel could do incredible damage. Hit me with a buzzer. There you go. That was an opinion. I'm trying to stick to the facts this hour, and I actually threw an opinion in.
I'll give you an opinion. He's going to decimate the party. This is going to splinter the party. There's going to be some kind of third party movement. That's the center-right part of the Republican Party, because the conservatives don't like him. People like me, the self-identified maybe more moderate in the conservative umbrella, don't like him. So there may be a lot of people are going to stay home and be looking for an alternative, but he will destroy the National Democrat, or excuse me, Republican Party, and he's going to do a lot of damage down ticket. It puts everything, states in play that, like Arizona or South Carolina, that would never be in play, will be in play if he's at the top of the ticket.
Pat, under any circumstance, when he gets the nomination, under any circumstances, can you see the Republican Party coming together to support him? Or will there be, as you say, a concerted effort to find another candidate?
No, unless the D.C. folks are doing that, because they tend to follow like lemmings when the nominee is determined. But I think outside the Beltway, you won't see that. But, you know, don't want to panic. Chaos and confusion sometimes can create opportunities. And I think the party's been long overdue for a reformation that have the party more in tune with the needs and interests and desires of the public. I think the party's been tone deaf in the last 10 years. And now we can, I think Paul Ryan sets a good example, apply the conservative principles of limited government to the problems we have, which are poverty, crime, the things that the Republican Party used to address when it was the party of ideas and not now the party of, you know, a celebrity TV guy.
Adam Kinzinger, the congressman, and a freshman senator from Nebraska named Ben Sasse have both come out publicly saying they will never support Trump. When will Washington leadership, including Paul Ryan, do that?
I'm not sure if they will for quite some time, and I'm not really blaming him for doing that. They do. There is a structure. There are rules. This is how the Republican National Committee set it up, so they have to respect that. That being said, that doesn't mean they have to support him. And I think a bigger problem that no one's really talked about yet, Trump's going to have to raise $1 billion to run this campaign, and I don't know where he's going to get it, because he's not liquid enough to write the check, even though he's telling everybody he is. He's not. And so there's going to have to be a lot of major donors and other people that are going to give him money. And it's I think, ironically funny today that he's doing this press conference at Lago Mar. I mean, one of the most opulent resorts in the country, when he's supposed to represent the downtrodden middle class, angry people that have been screwed by this economy. And that's where he's doing it. But that's, you know, you think it's you think it's bad living under the thumb we live in Illinois. How do you like it when Trump gets control of all this stuff? You saw what he did with the Ricketts. I mean, this guy is more to me like Mussolini than Madison or Monroe.
So
we're going to see.
The money point that you make is crucial, because we know last time around in 2012, both sides had to spend $1 billion. It's probably over that now. I mean, just logically, it's 4 years later. So if the Kochs of the world, and who's the rich rancher out in Wyoming that supported somebody last time, the billionaires around the country who throw money at this stuff, if they don't step up for Trump and he has no support of the $7 and $8 and $10 check writers that the crazy old uncle from Vermont had, where is the money going to come from?
I don't know. It's a good question. And Bernie Sanders has raised a ton of money, even more than Obama did at this point. But it's still not enough, I don't think, to get through a national campaign with someone like Hillary Clinton, who will raise you know, have a ton of money coming her way. So we'll see what happens, but it's a question that needs to be asked. But I don't think there's any scenario that he can actually beat Hillary Clinton. You have the Hispanics, the most really important growing demographic in this country. They hate him. I mean, they're organizing right now against him. I mean, that goes against everything any Republican thought we needed to do to broaden the base of the party. And that's why, to me, it's so devastating that this guy is going to end up being our nominee, unless they can do something at this convention.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're a far-right Republican or a far-left Democrat, we know who you're voting for. The great question is going to be, what does the vast middle do? The middle that maybe is just lightly connected now, and we know doesn't get completely connected till summer. Maybe because of this year, they'll be connected earlier. But the vast majority of the middle hasn't even been tapped into yet. And, you know, look, Hillary Clinton's got huge legal problems. Her dishonesty and her lack of trust, those numbers are through the roof. So, Pat, last question. Does this come down to Clinton versus Trump and who we hate less?
Yeah, and her numbers, and you see the enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats in the primaries. Her numbers are terrible. The Democrats really aren't turning out. Even the Democratic strategists will tell you that. So it might come down to that. Maybe there's somehow a viable third party option. They somehow get on with the Green Party or something. But yeah, I think it does. But to me, the presidency is too serious to even consider a guy like Trump. I mean, this is
right.
We are the leaders of the free world, and we can't give the command of that over to a guy like Trump. But all that being said, Steve, as I close here, I do have to wish happy birthday to my son Patrick, who turned 16 today.
So hey,
on a positive note,
happy birthday! That's fantastic. All right, man, be safe. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
That's Pat Brady. Quick break, back with your news next, and then Dean Richards, and also next hour after 8:30. Coach Q will join us as well after that great win on Sunday. Patty Vasquez in San Diego at Marine Boot Camp. I'll tell you what that's about after 9 o'clock on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me, girl.
Sponsored by the James A. Level, Captain James A. Level, Federal Healthcare Center. Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Howdy.
All things quiet in TV this morning?
All things quiet, very saddened by the death of the great George Kennedy.
Yes. Yes, I couldn't agree more, but what a run, 91.
91 years old, an amazing career, fantastic films that he put out through the years.
Wasn't he in Cool Hand Luke?
Say it again.
Wasn't he in Cool Hand Luke?
He won an Oscar for Cool Hand Luke. 1967, he won an Academy Award, Best Supporting Actor.
Be and, great if you had a clip.
Well, you know what? As it turns out, I believe we may have, we can put the needle on the record, as we used to say back
Let's
in
see.
The day.
I can eat 50 eggs.
My boss says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
Well, I believe I'll take part of that wager.
Now, when was the last time you ever saw my boy throw up?
Lord, whatever I've done, don't strike me blind for another couple of minutes.
No, he was...
My Lucille.
He was so good, staring off at Lucille in the distance. But Cool Hand Luke, Dirty Dozen. He was in all of the airport movies, the original airport movies. You know,
that's
remember
right.
the disaster films?
Sure. But can't we agree that the most amazing thing is that he lived through the filming of Naked Gun? Wouldn't we agree that that's the amazing thing?
That's right. He was in all the Naked Gun movies as well with O.J. Simpson.
And the fact that O.J. didn't murder him during the filming is rather remarkable.
I guess that's...
I mean, it'd be great if you had a clip.
I wonder if we do have something like that.
Hector Savage from Detroit.
Oh, yeah. He fought under the name of Kid Minneapolis.
Hey, I saw Kid Minneapolis fight once in Cincinnati.
No, you're thinking of Kid New York. He fought out of Philly.
He was killed in the ring in Houston by Tex Colorado. You know, the Arizona assassin.
Yeah, from Dakota. I don't remember if it was north or south.
North. South Dakota was his brother from West Virginia.
You sure know your boxing?
Well, all I know is never bet on the white guy. You got an address in there?
All I've got is a card that says Monique DiCarlo, 210 Bleckman Street.
That's the red light district. Wonder why Savage is hanging out down there.
Sex, Frank?
No, not right now, Ed. We got work to do.
That is the best written stupidity ever. Naked Gun is just, every time a Naked Gun movie would come out, you'd laugh for an hour and a half. It was all idiotic, but it was brilliantly stupid.
There were three of them, each one more stupid than the next.
Ah, fantastic. Really, so George really Kennedy, funny. God bless you. Thanks for the entertainment.
91 years old. He was a World War II combat veteran. Really quite a remarkable guy.
Oscar ratings from Dean. Sam Smith apologizes for something. And Chris Rock and the Girl Scout Cookies is not a new band. It's a story. And Dean has all of that coming up. Traffic first. Adam Chappelle's back with an update.
Oh, won't you stay with me? 'Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see.
Sing it, church.
But darling, stay with me.
Love that choir. I'm Dean. I'm a little concerned that skinny Sam Smith is not going to sing as well as fat Sam Smith.
He sounded pretty good the other day, although he said he was disappointed with his performance at the Oscars on Sunday night. I thought he sounded fantastic.
Yeah, it's just. I don't know that you want a skinny. I mean, good for him and his health and his future.
Yeah, for health-wise, yes. But I think any doctor, if you get Kevin Most on the phone right now, he'll tell you that singers sound better when they're fat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. You know, I mean, you know, imagine Pavarotti if he weighed 147
right.
pounds.
Aretha Franklin may be the only exception because she will tear the roof down anytime, any place, no matter what.
Tear the roof off the sucker
with her purse in her hand.
Sucker.
I'm carrying my purse because I don't want to leave my cash backstage.
Right, because that's where all the bad people are. The backstage people are the ones you can't trust. You can throw your purse in the audience, you get it back.
She knows. You don't know where I got my money.
He's not lying. You ever been backstage at any show? Comedy show, yep. Theater show, whatever show.
I don't leave pencils backstage when I'm backstage at a show.
No, I will throw my platinum card into the crowd, and I know I'll get it back. I take it backstage. I leave my wallet sitting around. It's gone.
Yep. We all know that, but Sam Smith...
LifeLock won't protect you backstage. That's how bad it is.
Nope. Sam Smith has lost about 50 pounds. He looks fantastic.
Yeah, what's he apologizing for?
He's apologizing because when he won the Academy Award for Best Original Song,
yeah,
in his speech, he said that he had heard Sir Ian McKellen say that no openly gay person had ever won an Oscar before.
Okay.
That turns out that that's completely untrue. Elton John has won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Melissa Etheridge has won an Oscar. Stephen Sondheim. He was called
out.
So,
in other words, except for all those people.
Except for all those people. And Dustin Lance Black, who has won the Screenwriting Award, Best Screenplay for the movie Milk a couple of years ago, he actually called Sam Smith out on Twitter on the whole thing. Saying, you know, appreciate the sentiment, but check your Oscar history on that. So
Jodie Foster, there's another one.
Well, that has not been proven, Steve. We cannot.
Oh, is she not out?
We cannot say. I don't.
She pretty much came out at the Golden Globes, though, didn't she?
Did she?
I thought she did.
Yeah, when she said, "I gave my coming out speech years ago."
Well, I thought she
was at her house. She was alone, but she gave it.
Basically, she stepped out of the door at the time. It was confusing. But either way, Sam Smith, who was 23 years old, by the way, I mean, he's a kid, has apologized for it. And he said all he meant was that he's very proud to be who he is. So,
And good for him. Chris Rock, Girl Scout Cookies.
Right.
I thought it was the one extra bit that was kind of funny, you know, trying to do the Ellen DeGeneres viral video thing. I thought it sort of worked. But what happened?
In the middle of the show, you know, he says that he's trying to make, you know, like all parents trying to sell Girl Scout cookies for his kids. Why not do it in front of this auditorium full of millionaires? So, you know, a Girl Scout troop comes out with cookies and they're selling cookies to Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, all the celebrities who are there. Later in the show, Chris Rock revealed a tote board that said that they had earned $65,000.
Yeah.
Turns out it wasn't anywhere near $65,000 that they had raised. The Girl Scouts, the troop that brought the cookies, only brought 500 boxes of cookies with them at $5 a box, Steve,
that would be $65,000.
That comes to $2,500. Oh. A little bit different than
well, the tote board wasn't a tote board for comedy's
it
sake.
It was a joke. They said that the tote board was just a joke, but you know, just
where'd the money go, by the
for
way?
For accuracy, it goes to. Not to Chris Rock's daughter's troop, Girl Scout troop in New York, but it'll go to a Girl Scout troop in Inglewood, California.
We're getting Girl Scout cookies on the show today. Remember Ann Johnsos produced the show for 114 years?
Of course.
Her daughters are selling Girl Scout cookies, and because I'm a soft touch, I bought 12,000 boxes. They're going to be delivered by tractor trailer later this morning.
I'm getting people coming back to me now saying, remember about a month ago when you signed up and you bought Girl Scout cookies, and I don't remember, but I'm not turning it down. I've got like 20 boxes of cookies that I've ordered from friends and coworkers. My little niece is like, Uncle Dean, remember when you bought these? It's like, no.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's no, child, and don't speak to me unless I've spoken to you first. But here's the thing.
I get an English accent.
Yes, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why you talk to. I don't know why you talk to your niece that way. But here's the thing.
I'm on Downton Abbey.
It is the easiest thing to do if you're busy is to have people come up to you and go, "Remember when you owed me $20? Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that?" Because you'll just okay. You know, I just...
Oh, so that's the secret.
If a cute little kid comes up to you and goes, remember when you agreed to buy this? The cute little kid could be a pathological liar. Yep. You just go, yeah, here's your money.
I'm not complaining because, you know, it's nice to have a little snack nearby.
I can't imagine Girl Scout cookies last more than 30 seconds at Channel 9.
Oh, I'm telling you what. You could put virtually anything on a platter here and it'll be gone in about 30 seconds.
Oh, you put them out here and this is what you hear.
God! People...
And that's mostly the engineers.
You just hear a whoosh sound. Whoosh, platter empty.
Hey, one other thing, and I know you guys are running the video on this morning. You guys remember the movie Curly Sue?
Yes.
So The Voice is this huge hit on NBC. As a matter of fact, you could argue The Voice put American Idol out of business, even though The Voice doesn't seem to be making stars. They have this nice competition three or four times a year. There's a woman on there last night named Allison Porter,
yep,
who did Blue Bayou. Turns out she was Curly Sue.
She was Curly Sue in the movie and is now part of The Voice as a coach. Contestant.
Yeah.
Who picked her coach last night.
Yeah, so there you go.
Christina Aguilera.
Weird thing. No, she picked me.
Picked Steve Cochran.
That's the weird thing.
Steve, we have something special on our segment here tomorrow.
Oh, what are we doing?
I'm going to be joining you as always.
Yeah, of course.
So everyone's been warned. But we're going to be joined tomorrow by the president and CEO of Ravinia to reveal
the lineup.
The lineup.
Oh, great!
For this coming summer.
That's great. I love that.
He's going to be there with you at Tribune Tower, if that's okay.
Sure, it's fine.
I'm sure you don't mind. You're a likable person in person.
No, that's great. I know you and Kevin had a lot of meetings about this, trying to determine how to bring this up.
This is the meeting right now. I figure if I bring it up on the air, you can't say no.
No, not exactly that you would. Right. Good not move that
you
by would, you.
Dean, just
how
offer
much money do I owe for the cookies?
I was going to say, offer him some Girl Scout cookies, Dean.
Yeah. Right. Give him some chocolate mints. He'll say yes to anything.
Yeah, whatever.
He's such a cheap date.
I'm easy. So that'll be great. That'll be great tomorrow. And then what you don't know, Dean, is on Thursday's show, we actually have the accountants from the Oscars who are going to be sitting with us.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, they have nothing to do with this show. They're just going to come in and sit with
us. Just come and sit on the show like that. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
828 Sealer. That's Dean Richards live from Channel 9. And so tomorrow, I don't know if you're aware of this. Kevin, thank you for setting this up.
You got it,
tomorrow
Steve.
On the show, Kevin's been working hard on this for months. But Kevin has the lead of Ravinia, the big guy. I don't even know he needed to say his name. We all know who we're talking about. He was going to be here to announce the Ravinia lineup.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah. Probably should have gotten the name from Dean before.
I believe it's Wells Kaufman.
No, that's a bank. It's 8:28. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Why the who? Why the who not? See that? What happened there? Yeah, there you go. Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Be cool if the Who played Hooters.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
especially for Coach Q, because Coach Q is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And I like to call it, you know, it's a way of life.
Isn't the Who coming later Hooters? On this month? Well, I think to Chicago coming later this month.
Know.
I thought they were.
I don't know.
I wonder if Coach Q's going to go.
He loves the I'm not a big Who guy.
You're not?
No. I like an owl. I like that all, but I'm not a big Who guy. Well, March 10th, where are they playing, Kev?
United Center.
Yeah.
March 10th at the United Center.
You think Q can get tickets?
We could probably make a call.
He could probably make a call for us.
That's his office.
Yeah.
We're standing by for Coach Q. Where's Coach Q?
He's at Hooters right now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
So should we...
he's finishing up a plate. He should be calling any second.
Should be calling any second. Now. Okay. Did I mention the Coach Q show is sponsored by Hooters?
Actually, they will play in Dallas on Friday, March 11th, so they'd be leaving on the 10th, so
that might be tough for him.
Unless he leaves early. He can leave the game, right?
No, it's the games the next night.
Oh. Does he have to be there?
Yes.
Seems like it. Seems like it'd be awkward if he wasn't. By the way, Bleacher Report is reporting the winner of the trade deadline battle this year is who, Dave Innitt?
Actually, I'm guessing that they're saying the same thing USA Today is saying, which is the Chicago Blackhawks.
Chicago Blackhawks, hands down, the winner. And I believe USA Today, you said?
USA Today, Kevin Allen and USA Today said the Blackhawks are the biggest winner. And they said it's like Bill Gates hitting the lottery.
The rich get richer?
Mm-hmm.
Stop whining. Win a couple of cups if you don't like what's going on here. Let's take a break, come back, get your traffic, and then hopefully we'll have Coach Q coming up on 720 WGN. And Coach Joel Quenneville joins us live from the office. How are you, man?
Good morning. Sorry, I was in a meeting with the players here. I had a couple guys in here, and sorry.
Well, do we need to talk about priorities? I mean, where do I rank?
Yeah, I know. If I'd have known that, I would have put them on hold.
Thank you for the entertainment on Sunday. You know how many Hawks games I'm at? It's a bunch. And I'm privileged to be there. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed Sunday from the puck drop to the final horn. Man, what a great game.
Very intense, playoff-like, very physical. You know, the game was on the line throughout. Got a little comfortable with that two-goal lead, and then, we're down 5-on-3, and now we got to kill a full 2 minutes after they scored right off the hop and against a great power play. So we had to hold on a little bit at the end, but we were very pleased with it. I thought the last two periods were solid in our regard, and slow start. They came at us really well, but at the end of the day, there was a lot to be excited about in that game.
With all the benefits that come from doing this in the playoffs, there is, this opinion that the guys play up to the level of competition and sometimes get a little snoozy around teams that aren't as good. You see that, or is there no validity to that in your world?
You could find that there's going to be stretches where it seems like the more important games, the guys look like there's more intensity or more emotion. But our guys are generally pretty consistent about being respectful for our opponents. I think the league is still very balanced, and anybody can beat anybody on any given night, so you still have to be ready to play hard. But it seems like important games, our guys like the big stage, discounting the outdoor game here this year. For the most part, we're pretty good about showing up on time no matter who we're playing. But even though there's a little bit more incentive at stake, we seem to generally be excited about that stage.
Do you miss the Red Wings rivalry, being able to see them several times this season?
I certainly miss it because it was so intense, between the fans and the building and the cities, where you go, I'm a Wings fan. I go, oh, really? And then you go on and then you miss the games and the intensity of the games. And you know that you got to be beating Detroit over the course of the year to position yourself the right way, knowing they're always a playoff team. So. That's what it is. They put them in interesting times of the year, knowing that later on in the year, there's a lot to be determined. And we got two games with them this week with the rivalry game tomorrow night. It's still in place, still there, and a lot of respect for that organization, how they play, and a little bit of a transitional year for them. They seem to be handling it quite well.
Joel, do you feel like you have a better team now than you had when we spoke last week?
I like our team. I think we're improved with the addition of our three forwards. Got a little experience on the back end as well. Very happy with the acquisitions. I think we're bigger. We're stronger. We're deeper. And I think we got potentially four solid lines with not too much drop off from line to line, and any night anybody could be our best line or more. Our best line defensively, our best line offensively, and I think that that trust defensively is a thing we enjoy, and I think we really put that in place with the personnel we just acquired.
Is this the right amount of time, just about 5 weeks? And you've been through this before because you've added players every year at the deadline, but for the new guys to get acclimated before you go to the playoffs?
I think it helps. I think getting some familiarity with the system, with your line mates, with the city, with games, and knowing that there's a little bit of a when you walk in the door of a locker room, it's a little different for certain players. It can be a little bit challenging for some. We feel that ours is pretty welcoming, but I think they immediately get a sense and a feeling that there's something important going on around here, and expectations are internally high, and from our fans, from our staff and our organization, they're certainly high as well. So it's I think they feel that and sense it right away, but at the same time, it's not like there's pressure here. It's we find it's fun around here. We try to make it the culture very inviting. At the same time, there's expectations and a certain standard that when we play, we play at an all-out type of pace, and I think they feel that right away and sense it, and we expect that from no matter who's playing, but the newcomers, I think, immediately, that's what we're looking for.
These elite athletes at the top of their game, at the top of the National Hockey League, and of course, I always argue the best athletes, period. All hockey is football and rugby on skates, no big deal. And the fact of the matter is, new guys come in. This is the one thing that maybe is advantageous to a hockey team. You don't have to learn an NFL playbook, but you got to come in and you got to learn, I suppose, your line and your assignments. The chemistry is important, but I don't know. How much coaching up do you have to do to guys you're bringing in?
You can give them, every system's kind of comparable, and you give them a little bit of an idea of how you have to play in the system. We got a rhyme or reason how we play without the puck. Offensively, we want them to trust their instincts. Even when they're first getting acclimated with how we want to play defensively, I think there's still some freedom to get comfortable where you just, with that go-first mentality, I think that's kind of how we want to play anyways, and then we'll correct off of that. So there's I think there's that feeling out that you're playing that old system, should I go or should I not go, and if you can get rid of that quicker than not, I think you're going to be way more effective and efficient. So we try to give them that day. When in doubt, just go, and we'll fix it later, and guys don't mind that, and they'll get and they quickly adapt to your line mates as well when they're going and when you should be back and vice versa.
I would argue this stretch is kind of a mini playoffs, because over the next 12 days you got 6 games, 4 of them on the road, 2 in Detroit, you got St. Louis and Dallas and Boston and the Kings all in there, and you got a lot of new guys in the house. So from a coaching challenge standpoint, I think your attention is going to have to be pretty focused. Of course, I never worry about that with you. I think this type of stuff probably fires you up to see this level of competition over the next 2 weeks.
We got a real tough schedule coming up, very important games against really good teams. So that'll be the test that we're looking forward to. And, we got some motivation along the way here. We'd love to be first in our division. We got teams that are fighting us for it as well that we have to play. So there's a lot to be determined. But our guys are, as we put these lines together, and we got a couple guys still not out that will like come into our lineup, looking forward to seeing these guys play and then see what our options are as lines as well. So there's still some more guys getting acclimated here that we still want to look forward to, and then getting our lines towards the end here, getting some continuity with who's going to be with who. I know in an ideal world we like to have our lines made up the way we have them on paper, but a lot of times you don't even get to do that. So we'll see how that plays out, but look forward to that.
I know Weiss was delayed a little bit. Will he be with you tomorrow?
I'm on it, Dave. I'm on it. Dave's been bothering me about this queue. He's trying to make me get the visa done. I'm on it. I'm making calls.
All right, get it done, will you?
Well, I guess that's the answer. What about anything new on Hossa?
Yeah, how is Hossa?
He was in here. That's why I wasn't even talking to you guys today.
Oh, so, no, that's a good reason.
He skated yesterday. He's doing better. We'd expect him to get in a practice or two this week. He's not too far away. I would expect him not on this road trip, but likely soon after.
Hey, by the way, you know, and this is on the air, but, you know, the people love you and some like me. And
sure that's the way, or it's not the other way around?
No, no, it's definitely that way. Okay. I heard you had a little celebrity tennis match the other day.
Always fun event. It's a great event out in Hinsdale.
Is it true that at the tennis match you played with Eric Ferguson?
Eric Ferguson's out there. He's starting to turn into a tennis aficionado.
Okay, but let's just stop right there. You and I go way back to the war.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to play golf with me, but what are we going to do? Do I have to fight with another radio titan over your attention? Are we going to go bowling? Are we going to, you know, hang out in the park? What are we going to do?
We missed bowling last night, too.
Now, it's a cool thing, and Eric's a good guy. I'm glad you guys raised a bunch of money. But to check out your tennis game, I've asked tennis expert Andrea Darlis, who played all the way into college, to ask you a tennis question.
Very good.
Andrea? All right, Coach, I hear you got a mean backhand, so I'm thinking we do a mixed doubles tournament, you and me against Eric and Kathy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll crush them. We'll crush them.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, yeah. We're crushing them here. Why wouldn't you crush them there?
Totally. What's the best part of your game, your backhand or your serve?
I don't serve very well anymore. I used to like to serve, but now I'm kind of just, you know, I'm an okay server, but not...
See, that's why we'll do mixed doubles. I'll play the net.
I got to get you on a golf course.
Perfect. And, you know, you got to get up at the net and doubles.
Yeah. Totally,
like, I know
totally.
You don't like golf, but I got to get you on a golf course. The therapy you would have from beating the hell out of a golf ball would be so good for you.
Tennis, you get the workout. Golf, you get pleasure.
Yeah, he is right.
Go ahead and smack yourself. Right. I can't reach you from here. So, Coach, thanks. And thanks for the good news. And I know it's going to be an interesting stretch. Look forward to talking to you next time, but have fun in Detroit.
All right. Thanks, King.
See you guys. Thanks. To find out he's cheating on me with Eric is weird.
No, he said we're going to crush him.
He's not cheating on you, Steve.
I don't know.
You're going to coach the team. You're going to coach our team. We got the whole strategy up. We're going to play the net. We'll crush him. Don't worry about it.
Remember when Brian Campbell was on the show all the time?
Yeah.
And then one day I had on Seabrook. And then Soup called on the hotline. And he goes, "Hey, Steve, I hear Brent's there. This is how I find out?" That's how I feel now. I feel like I know. Look, Eric's a good guy, and I'm glad he plays a cute little game of tennis. I'm glad they raised a bunch of money. But, you know, it's hard for me not to believe that Coach Q and I don't need counseling.
You know what he said? They did. It was one match, and it meant nothing.
He's already told you?
I could tell him by the sound of his voice. It meant nothing.
Yeah, I think it meant a lot.
Dave?
I think it meant a lot. Really?
Yeah, Dave, you're a big help. It's 8:56. I'll be over here silently weeping in the corner. We're back after this. Yeah, come here. 7:20.
Discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it San Diego, which, of course, in German means...
.910, our friend Patty Vasquez is live in San Diego. And she's out there, of course, doing what you would expect her to be doing. She's apparently joined the Marines. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. I'm so sorry. I'm on ballistic instructions from the staff sergeant.
Are you in the barracks?
I'm on the bus on the way to the depot.
Does he know you're on the phone? It's like high school again.
No, it's worse than that because she's about to have a drill instructor yell at her.
I am.
All right, no. Hang up. Call us back when you get to wherever you can call us. Hang up. Talk to her off the air.
Patty,
don't get her in trouble.
Tell her to say, "I got nowhere to go."
So, all of yeah, exactly. Why are you here?
I got nowhere else to go.
It's 9:10, and we'll connect with Patty when she gets to wherever she's going.
Can you imagine the
this
drill?
This is all sponsored by our friend David Hochberg and Pearl Mortgage.
Can you imagine, though, the drill sergeant catching her and her talking her way out of it? It's okay. I'm on the phone with Steve Cochran back in Chicago.
I bet that would go really well. Yeah, I bet that would go really well. By the way, all of this is a part of something called the Educator Workshop Program. The Educator Workshop Program is one of the MCRC's premier community engagement initiatives. If you think of the FBI program that we were in, the Citizens Academy. This is the Citizens Academy for the Marine Corps, but with actual physical activity that didn't involve just walking around.
We had a lot of mental activity.
There was that.
Yeah, we had tests and quizzes. And okay, we didn't.
And then we shot at the gun range.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and I was one shot. I took out the bad guys. You actually killed a lamp.
I had 15 shots.
You killed a lamp and a sofa.
I killed the guy with the rifle, but I also blew up everything in the house.
You killed a lamp and a sofa and a TV.
And a microwave.
And a microwave.
To be fair.
The purpose of the Educator Workshop doesn't microwave. You didn't like the way it was looking at you.
That's right.
The purpose of the Educator Workshop program is to identify educators and community influencers who have limited knowledge about the Marine Corps and provide them with a first-hand look into what the Marines do every day and how it transformed young men into women and the United States Marines. Can she talk now? Or do I have to interview her like this?
I think she's safe.
All right, Patty Vasquez has apparently gotten to a place where her drill instructor can't find her. So
okay, so we just did formation. We are being basically kind of put through the same sort of first day that a current would experience.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of yelling and how to turn, how to respond when your senior drill instructor tells you what to do. And, this is an amazing experience, but I just kind of went through the, everyone was very quiet. They were told to be quiet, and they're on the way to the depot, which is where the recruits first arrive on their first day. Hello.
And who are you rooming with?
I was actually, because I am broadcasting at night from 11 to 8 in Chicago, I have my own room.
Oh, you do? So you're not in the barracks like Gomer Pyle USMC?
Well, you know, it turns out that there are men and women who actually need that space. So we are staying in a hotel, yeah. I know people are disappointed that we are not bunking and, you know, there aren't pillow fights breaking out and things like that. The Marine doesn't do that, but yeah.
For the full Marine experience, shouldn't you be in an uncomfortable hotel?
Certainly. The vending machine was out of water bottles last night. Does that count?
Oh, the drill instructor caught her and tried to cut her off there. Did you hear that?
He ordered a code red.
Wait a minute. What did that happen? What did I do?
You got cut off for a second. I think your drill instructor is tapping the line.
It might be. He might be. We're having a great week. So, well, I've only been here for a day, and it feels like a week already.
All right. Now, we've got a couple of texters who listen in San Diego every morning who want to know where you are.
We are Bayside, actually. And right now, we are on our way to Mexico.
But what's the base?
The base is in San Diego. We're going to Pendleton in the next couple of days.
Oh, you're going to Camp Pendleton. Okay.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay. Well, say hi to Gomer Pyle and Sergeant Carter.
And Jack Nicholson.
And by the way, we want to thank, I know that you've had some of the David Hochberg spots this morning. We want to thank him for his sponsorship on this.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. David Hochberg. David Hochberg and Pearl Mortgage are the, he's just one of the most generous guys. And when it comes to military endeavors and respecting our veterans and things like that, he's all over it and spends a lot of money on it. So we appreciate that.
And that's really part of this, too, is that, you know, not just for the educators who have an impact on young men and women who maybe aren't sure what to do when they graduate from high school, but I think it's also an idea that's going to appreciate what it takes for soldiers to train. But I also think there's a weird sort of fascination. I was at dinner last night, and one of the educators turned to the senior drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Lemke, and said, "Can I see your pants?" But of course, what a weird moment.
Can I see your pants?
Yes, and he was kind enough to lie to stand up and show her his pants, and then he fooled her on every article of clothing a Marine ever wears in their career.
Right, and I would ask to look.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, between whether it's a dress clues or, you know, this box with the blue box with the red stripe. But, I mean, what a weird way to put that question, to have that come out of your face. Can I see your pants?
Yeah, it's so weird, too, for Patty, because she gets that question here from me and other people, but it's not related to this at all. From the 708, my nephew's at Camp Pendleton. Today's his birthday. Say hi to Jake when you see him, Patty. Thanks.
Absolutely. I will look for Jake. I don't know. We're not allowed to have to recruit, but we will have the opportunity to get some of the officers and soldiers when we have the opportunity.
All right. Well, listen, we have many questions, but we're going to save them for our second call with you. So hold the line. And Kevin will talk to you off the air. Military budgets are down. That might explain the phone.
Yeah, I still want her to tell the drill sergeant, "I got nowhere to go."
I have a feeling he'd seen that movie and he wouldn't laugh that much. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Patty Vasquez, C-H-I, P-A-T-T-I-V-A-S-Q-U-E-Z-C-H-I. That's Patty on social media. She'll be on tonight and every night with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, starting at 11. 11 o'clock every night, talking about this week. Mark Carman is out there as well. Jackie Paulus and Shanae from our, who runs our digital and video departments. Mm-hmm. They're out there as well, so they're all getting the full Marine boot camp treatment.
Do they have to
Semper Fi?
Don't they have to all shave their heads too? Isn't that kind of a prerequisite?
I don't think Patty and Jackie and Shanae would do that, but I'd be amused if Mark Carman did.
I think they all should. They got to get into it.
Dave, you're his boss, and he works for the WGN Sports Department. Could you insist that he shave his head?
Well, I don't think I could do that while he's in San Diego. Mm. I mean, I didn't have any say in him being sent out there.
So. Sounds like Dave's kicking the can down the road.
I think so, too.
You're on Super Tuesday. Yeah. More on Super Tuesday before 10, and we will ask Patty all the questions you thought I'd ask today when we get her on a better phone line in the next couple of days. Things like what they're putting through physically and, you know, what happened to Carmen when he cursed back at the drill instructor.
That would be funny.
Yeah, well, right.
It happens here all the time. I've never reciprocated.
You've never cursed back?
No. Or yeah. Reprimanded.
That's why you're not in the Marines.
I guess.
Yeah. It's constructive cursing. It's 9:18. Let's take a break. We'll come back, continue with the Steve Cochran Show number 598, which means our big 600 show celebration is only 2 days away.
Have we planned that yet?
Nope.
Okay.
This is 720 WGN. Text continue to come in on what would you do if you're Scott Kelly and your first day back from space after being in outer space for a year. He's on the International Space Station for the last year. What's the first thing you'd do? 630, first hot shower, second breakfast, then lunch, then dinner, all at once, third shower, finally 3 day stay at a 5-star hotel with a significant other to be determined. It's a solid plan. 815, first thing I do is have a Cuban cigar. What? We're talking to Cuba now? Well, I changed it here.
Yeah, you can't smoke in space.
847, I'd paint my ceiling because I haven't had one in a while. And I'd paint it so white. I think you're tying events together there.
I think so, too.
847, feel good about myself, get in the car and go, holy crap, I forgot to let the dog out.
After a year?
815, go see a Cubs game. I'm a little early. 815, make my IRA contribution. A lot of people worried about their taxes this morning. 660, a screwdriver.
Oh, yeah.
This is nice, Dave, from the 660. I'd want to have a big kale salad with Dave.
Very nice.
You know, after coming back from outer space and eating food in a bag for a year, why would you want kale?
Why wouldn't you?
Again, Dave, there's a median right out there. You could just go out and gnaw on that.
I'd want like a big Lou Malnati's pizza or a burger, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you name it.
No offense, Dave.
815, get off the space station, land, go see a movie with my buddy. Oh, crap, it's The Martian. 773, home from space, go to Dunkin' Donuts to get some coffee. And then, man, do I have to go grocery shopping. You guys are funny. What are you going to do when you get back from space after a year? Text your line 312-981-7200 is the number. On Sunday, Dave's going to climb a whole bunch of stairs. A lot of stairs, a whole bunch of steps.
2,340.
And you did this last year.
I did it last year.
How'd you feel afterwards?
Felt good. Felt a little tired.
Sure.
A couple days later, my legs were a little sore, but it's the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb presented by United Healthcare. It's this Sunday at Presidential Towers in the West Loop. You can climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 of the Presidential Towers. Each one has 45 stories, so it adds up to 180 floors if you climb all 4. We have a good team put together. Kevin's going to climb. Patty Vasquez, I think, is once again part of our team if she gets back from boot camp.
We're going to put a phone that works at the top of the first tower, so that'll give her incentive to get
perfect,
up there quickly.
Perfect. Yeah.
She's going to go from boot camp to climbing stairs? Wow.
Yeah, and she did a stair climb last week
to hustle up the hand.
She's like an iron woman now.
So she's going to be there. So we hope that you will join us on Sunday. You can either register Or you can just make an online pledge like Steve is doing at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. You know who else is joining us? Marcus Leshock from Channel 9. He's going to be on our team.
All right, so
too.
What happened with Channel 9's team? They didn't have enough people to care about other people?
No, they just wanted, I think, to merge. You know, it's bringing two powers together.
So they didn't have enough people on their team?
Right.
Okay. And well, it's nice that you were willing to take them in.
Yeah.
It's good of you, Captain Edit.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy. The more, the merrier.
And I'd be climbing with them, but like you, I'm going to make a donation, Steve, because I have to work at Channel 9 this weekend. I'm allowing Marcus the ability to come out and climb with you.
I'm guessing you're going to be covering it.
Yes, we will be covering it unless there's other breaking news.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's as good an answer as any.
Yeah.
If people want to get involved again, simply go to fightforairclimb.org and look for your team, Team Ennett.
Ennett to win it.
Ennett to win it.
Go Cats.
Or you go to 312-781-1100. Call that number and sign up.
Last year, Dean broadcast live from there. Is he doing it again?
Yes, he is.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. It's 9:26. We're back after this. Big story still to come, and then a rundown of the Super Tuesday states in a moment on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran, and the latest polls from Real Clear Politics on this Super Tuesday. The CNN ORC poll has Trump crushing Cruz and Rubio and Carson and Kasich. The Democratic poll has Clinton crushing Sanders. You go to the specifics of the primaries. In Texas, Cruz now just 3 points ahead of Trump, according to an Emerson poll. In Texas, Clinton, 42 points up on Bernie Sanders. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Her highest is in Alabama, where she has a 48-point lead over Sanders.
In Oklahoma, Trump is 10 points up on, and then make it 13 up on Rubio and 16 up on Cruz. In Oklahoma, Clinton is only 9 points ahead of Sanders. In Massachusetts, Trump is rolling on Rubio, 20 points. Trump has 51. 51, 20, Kasich, 14, Cruz, 10. Massachusetts, Clinton's about 10 up on Sanders. Alabama, you mentioned Clinton. Trump is up 42-19 over Rubio. Cruz at 16%. In Oklahoma, which, you know, is a state that, you know, I don't know. I'm done trying to figure it out. But in Oklahoma, Trump has 35% of the vote, Cruz 23, Rubio 22. Basically, we've gotten to a point now, if it's within 10 points of Trump, that's a victory for everybody that's chasing him. In Oklahoma, Sanders is actually leading Clinton, but she's closed the gap there to 5 points. Mm-hmm. Georgia's a crush for Clinton and a big, big, big lead for Trump. And I'm trying to think if we've missed any other states. I think that covers it.
You know what's interesting? Rubio doesn't come in first in any of these polls.
Nope.
I know you can say what you want about polls, but he comes in second place in most of them.
General election, Trump versus Clinton. Clinton wins by 8, according to CNN. Sanders beats Trump by 12, again, according to CNN. Cruz beats Clinton by a point. Sanders beats Cruz by a bunch. Rubio beats Clinton by a nose, 50-47. These are all head-to-head polls. And Sanders beats Rubio by 8 points, all CNN ORC polls.
You know, Sanders voted this morning in Vermont, and he was with his wife, and he almost sounded a little bit defeated. He said, we're going to really hope for a high voter turnout. Otherwise, he said, we're going to be struggling.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think it's possible that you could see, I don't think Sanders is going to drop out, but no. I think on the Republican side, you could certainly see somebody step away after today. I'm not sure Kasich would because, you know, he's 2 weeks away from the Ohio primary. It could actually make some news. I have another story here separate from politics, but kind of related, which I just think is going to make you happy. You know, at the end of Osama bin Laden's wife, you want him paranoid and worried, don't you?
Okay, yes.
Here's a headline from Reuters. Osama bin Laden worried that his wife had a tracking device in her tooth.
Okay, that's funny.
That's from Reuters, as reported by NBC this morning. The Al-Qaeda leader was worried about spies in his midst. And unclassified documents from 2011 are now revealing some of the paranoia. In one document, bin Laden issues instructions to Al-Qaeda members holding an Afghan hostage to be careful of tracking technology attached to a ransom payment. Bin Laden wrote, it's important to get rid of the suitcase where the funds are delivered due to the possibility of having a tracking chip in it. Ooh, somebody's been watching TV. In an apparent reference to armed U.S. drones patrolling the skies, bin Laden says the negotiators should not leave their rented house except on a cloudy, overcast day when it's harder to see them.
Was that the house that they actually shot him in?
No, this is in Pakistan, in Peshawar.
Okay.
In another, bin Laden expresses alarm over his wife going to the dentist.
Oh, my God.
I don't know which wife it was. He had three at the end. She went to a dentist while in Iran, and she worried that a tracking chip could have been put into her filling. The size of the chip is about the length of a grain of wheat and the width of a fine piece of vermicelli, he wrote.
What?
I like the fact that bin Laden was a foodie. Furious, curious leader. How wide was it? Like vermicelli. How long do I have to go over this? The letter ended with the instruction, please destroy this letter after reading it. Whoops. Whoopsie. These documents can be read online as soon as later today. They may already be up. On April 28, 2011, just 4 days before his death, bin Laden was editing a document he had written on the Arab Spring Revolutions when he said, I'll get back to this in a few days.
By the way, vermicelli, I think anyway, it looks thinner than spaghetti, but thicker than angel hair.
Well, you're only saying that because you have a tracking chip in your tooth. It's 9:46. We'll come back, get a few more of your texts at 312-981-7200. Text question of the day. If you are astronaut Scott Kelly, you're back to Earth today after a year in space. What's the first thing you're going to do? And tomorrow on the show, have we firmed this up with Spike?
Not yet. I'll check in.
We're hoping to have space expert Spike Odell on the show tomorrow as well.
Oh, he's such a space geek.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
9:46, back after this, 720 WGN. Hey, just so you're aware, there's a warning to what's coming up at 10 o'clock. The FCC has granted a one-time waiver of the emergency alert system rules to use a live tornado warning during the national statewide tornado exercise this morning. At 10 a.m., the National Weather Service offices state that in the state of Illinois, they're creating a test tornado warning. It's an important exercise they do every year. But at 10 a.m., wherever you live around the state, there's going to be a tornado warning going off. And with the wacky weather that we have, you wouldn't be crazy to think, uh-oh, what's coming? What's going on? It is a test at 10 a.m. this morning. So a live tornado warning at 10 a.m. this morning. And no, it's not a live tornado. It's a live tornado warning.
Just a warning.
A test. So back to the texters from the 214. If I was Scott Kelly, first thing I do when I get home from space is go into my backyard and hug a tree. We haven't had any trees in a while.
A lot kiss the ground, you know, when you come back from a long voyage, kiss the ground.
Probably kiss something else. I don't know.
Okay.
A15, when I get back from being in space for a year, I'm going to turn on my favorite soap and see that the storyline hasn't changed.
That's probably very true.
619, after a year, I'd see Trump running. I'd go back to space. We've had a few of those. Well done by you. 630, a bottle of wine, Portillo's, and getting lucky. And by the way, not in that order.
Wine, lucky, then Portillo's? Or
no,
lucky, wine?
Lucky, Portillo's, wine. 708, remember that I didn't unplug the coffee pot and call an insurance guy because my house burned to the ground.
Oops.
630, I'd go to the nearest beach and check out the babes. 219, more. Trump? Oh, I don't think so. Back to outer space. 847, when I get back from space, I want to play that famous video game of asteroids. Gee, that'll be fun. I just saw them!
Yeah, but think how good you'd be.
708, I'd listen to Bill and Wendy, and I'd yell at the radio, but at different times at different people on the show.
Oh.
In other words, some days they'd yell at Bill, some days they'd yell at Wendy.
And some days they'd yell at Bertrand.
Oh, a lot of yelling at Bertrand. Yeah, without a doubt. And from the 847, after a year in space, I'd listen to Nick DiGilio Straight Out of Context podcast. Oh, and then I listen to Steve's show, too.
I like that order.
Wine, sex, Portillo's. Thank you for all of those. Tomorrow on the program, Kevin, what are we doing tomorrow on the show? Might as well promote tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Let me pull out Karen tomorrow. Conte. Will be on it tomorrow, 6:40, Karen Conte. 7:40, one of the all-time favorite Steve Cochran Show guests, Kim Potts, will join the show. It's been about a month since we've talked with her, so we'll check in. Dean at 8:10, of course, and we'll announce the Ravinia lineup.
We're going to announce that live, thanks to the work that you and Dean have done together on that project.
Yes, our difficult work by me.
Yes,
mostly Dean. Breakfast with a Blackhawk at 8:40.
And Blackhawk to be determined? We're having Eddie on, aren't we?
It's going to be the newly added Tomas Fleischmann.
Oh, Fleischmann.
At 8:40 for Fleischmann. Breakfast with
we're
a Blackhawk.
But I talked to Eddie yesterday for a while. Eddie was here, and I talked to Eddie yesterday for a while.
Oh.
And after he got done hugging Andrea,
yeah,
I said you'd be in touch to have him on the show this week. So
okay.
call him, book him at some
point. Yeah, well, later in the week.
Why don't you and Dean talk about it?
And the Polar Plunge.
Want me to book him?
Already, I feel like it was just yesterday when Ron was jumping into Lake Michigan for the Polar Plunge, but it's back this weekend already. So we're going to talk to some people with the Special Olympics who will be raising money for the Special Olympics. That'll be at 9:40. And hopefully Spike, Mr. Spike Odell at 9:10, will check in with us. I got to check in with him later, though.
All right. Those are some of the things that are happening tomorrow.
Are we still taking Stevie's nominations, too, by the way?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Best and worst moments of the show, memorable things that happened during the show, things that made you laugh, things that made you shut your radio off, everything in between. Okay? Like this morning when Grzanich made his reference to sitting on the toilet for an hour, that kind of thing. A couple of other notes from the political world. Joe Scarborough from MSNBC, the former congressman. He finally disavowed Trump after kissing up to Trump after Trump's KKK comments. Or lack of KKK comments would probably be a better way of putting it. And, it's enough. I'm actually sick of talking about it. Super Tuesday voting is on. We're back after this with Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. .957. And the Steve Cochran Show continues. Where's Bill and Wendy?
I don't know. I was about to call him.
Want me to go find him?
Wait, you can be Bill and I'll be Wendy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you guys have coming up on the show today?
Lots of stuff.
Oh, we have a great show, Steve. Great. Yeah, I can't wait to get the show started.
Steve, we have so much stuff.
I love doing this show, and there never seems to be enough time to finish the show. But I'm in a lot of discomfort.
Well, I just called their office, and oh, there they are.
There's
Wendy.
We were being you guys. Yeah. I was Wendy.
I think
and
I did
Dave
a pretty good Bill.
Bill
impression.
I think I did a good Wendy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I almost felt like you were channeling both of them.
He didn't
just
like
got
us.
The chills. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Steve, how are you?
I'm in a lot of pain.
That's what I understand, and this is a bad time because didn't you just have the franchise tag put on you?
I did.
Yesterday?
I did.
So yeah. This is awful timing.
Yeah, it's the average salary of 5 interns at other radio stations.
Yeah.
That's what we go with. How are you guys?
What can we do to alleviate your pain?
Well,
what?
We could get the new chairs here in studio.
New chairs would be good.
That's supposedly coming. Talked to the president of this place yesterday and said we need some chairs and some water.
Yeah, it's not a Jimmy DiCastro. DiCastro said he would get it done, and when he says he'd get it done, he'd get it done. He turned it over to other people, and I love the other people he turned it over to. They're good people, but right now, I'd like to punch all of them.
Oh, no.
It is an embarrassment, and I don't really like to go on the...
It's more physical pain for me right now than anything else.
Wendy and I have been bringing in lawn chairs for our part of the show, and our guests just sit on lawn chairs, and they enjoy that.
We have a beautiful studio that ought to have beautiful chairs.
Amen. And when guests ask for water, I have to walk over and spit in their mouths.
That does seem counterproductive.
Bill's closer. He won't do it.
It's too bird-like for me.
But so many people like that.
By the way, somebody suggested that I drink a pint of carrot juice, a pint of celery juice, and a pint of beet juice.
You should do that.
Why?
For what?
They said it's good for inflammation.
So is an Advil.
Yeah, you could just take ibuprofen.
I was going to say, it might be good for something else.
The listener...
No, you drink all that juice, right?
Run to the bathroom all day.
Are you experiencing swelling, Steve?
Yeah, but not in the right areas.
That's a good out.
Wow. See you tomorrow, I think.